thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Is anybody else sick to death of hearing about parties in Downing Street? Anybody just sick to death of hearing about them? Because it just seems that every other day there's another revelation about another party or something that's gone on in Downing Street when the rest of us all and the whole country were in a strict lockdown. Many calls for poor old Boris to resign. Many people calling him a hypocrite. Well, all that's been going on, all that furore around that about rule breaking. And then amidst all of that, a story broke a couple of weeks ago on Twitter. A retired doctor decided it was time to make his own confession of how he too had broken the COVID rules. This doctor, he was quite recently retired, and he'd been asked to help to set up a vaccination hub. And he was very busy vaccinating just the people who were coming in. And this woman came in and she had missed her previous appointment. And she was just going on and on about how sorry she was. She was really sorry to have messed them around. And she was just going on about it. And he's saying, it's okay, it's okay. Somebody else took the place. And she was just telling all this. And then she said, here's what happened. Myself and my husband moved to Scotland just before the pandemic broke out. And as soon as they arrived in Scotland, her husband was diagnosed with terminal cancer. So she cared for him throughout the first lockdown, through that first summer, and then he died. He died just before her appointment at the vaccination clinic. Because her son lived in England with his wife who had COVID, he wasn't able to come up to be with her when her husband died. Because of COVID, she hadn't been out socialising and her husband being ill anyway, so she hadn't had time to build up any network, really, of friends. He said this poor woman was very, very much alone. And I just took the decision that this was an occasion where I was going to break the rules. He said, I leaned forward and I embraced her. This is his words, this poor person just dissolved into tears as she sobbed. She told me that I was the first person who had embraced her since her husband had died. That doctor knew the rules about social distancing, about minimizing contact, but he made a decision from the heart. He made a decision because he identified and he sympathized as one person to another person. He made an on-the-spot decision to reach out and just embrace that woman. He was moved by her sorrow, by the recent sadness of her life. And in that moment, he decided love, sympathy, care expressed in an actual physical, practical way was more important than keeping any rules. When I read that story, it was on the 17th of January that story came out. When I read that, it reminded me of a story that Luke told about Jesus also reaching out, breaking the rules, not God's rules, but the rules, breaking the rules, touching a woman with love and compassion. Going to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. So Luke, chapter 13. Going to read from verse 10 to 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, And immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said, notice, not to Jesus, to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his, it wasn't just the synagogue ruler, when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Isn't that a wonderful story? Beautiful story. It was a Sabbath day. And as was Jesus' custom, he went to the synagogue and he must have been invited to actually teach because you just couldn't go in and decide you were going to be the teacher. But the synagogue was the very place where people should have been focusing on God, worshipping God, believing God, listening to the word of God with the intention of actually obeying it and loving each other in the synagogue as the people of God. And of course, probably most of the people there were there for that purpose. The synagogue was the very center of the religious life in the towns and villages. It was the heart of the community of faith in often a very hostile world. Most people did not own scriptures of their own. The Torah scrolls were large, they were expensive, they were obviously handwritten. Most people could never have had even a portion of the scriptures in their own home. Many people couldn't even read. So to meet together on the Sabbath day, to worship as the people of God, to listen to the scriptures being read, that was for many the highlight of their week. But unfortunately, after many of the religious leaders had read the actual word of God, they would then go on to give their interpretation of what they believed the word of God meant. And in many instances, the focus was much more on much later traditions and man-made rules than what God had actually said in his word. The people, the ordinary people, were often bamboozled by the sheer number of man-made rules that had to be obeyed. The religious leaders laid burdens, traditions, rules. They laid them on the backs of the people. But as Jesus said, they wouldn't even lift a finger to help them. And this was so sad because the Sabbath day was actually a gift from God. Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. It was a day that God had given, a day full of spiritual meaning, a day for worship, a day for spiritual refreshing and revelation from the Word of God. But as one writer said, by Jesus' time, it becomes so, I thought this was great, fossilized and encrusted with traditions that it had become practically lifeless. All the rules and traditions sucked the joy and the life out of it. That's how I felt about Sundays growing up, if I'm absolutely honest. All the rules and traditions sucked the life out of it. Hopefully you don't feel that way. But on this particular Sabbath, Jesus was the one doing the teaching in the synagogue. So he knew the scriptures. He absolutely knew the correct interpretations. Let's face it, folks, it's never going to be a dull service as Jesus is doing the teaching. There's not going to be a lifeless meeting when Jesus is in charge. And I just imagine synagogue, packed to capacity. Because this is nearing the end of Jesus' earthly life. He was well known. People would have been flocking in to hear him, to see what he was going to do. Oh, was there a sense of anticipation, do you reckon, in the synagogue that day? Were the people waiting eagerly, anticipating, what's Jesus going to say? What's Jesus going to do? You know, already people sensed a huge gulf between what Jesus said and how Jesus said it to what their own religious leaders said and how they said it. And I'm sure they sensed that their leaders weren't too keen on Jesus. They didn't like what he said. They didn't like what he did, and they didn't like that he was popular. I don't know how he ever got to teach in a synagogue. This is actually the last recorded time that he was teaching in a synagogue. But it's Jesus is teaching the people. And a woman in the congregation caught Jesus' eye. She's bent right over, right over. She cannot straighten up. Now, in all the Jewish synagogues, it was customary for the rabbi or the teacher to sit on a raised platform, sit kind of cross-legged probably, and for the people to stand as they're listening to him. Maybe we should go back to that kind of method. This is a completely off the track. But in Ballymena Elam this morning, when the pastor was preaching, there was a massive loud snore. And he stood laughing, the whole church are laughing. And then the man did another massive loud snore and snort while he woke up. Well, if you were standing and the Graham was sitting, that wouldn't have happened, hopefully. Anyway, I've lost my place now. No. So the people were standing. He would have noticed her standing, unable to straighten up. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, right, if everybody's standing looking at you and you're bent right over, it's going to be hard to put your head like that. I was wondering, did she turn to the side because it'd be easier to look that way? She would definitely have stood out. But no one, nothing misses Jesus' attention. And by Jesus' supernatural knowledge and insight, he knew this woman has been in this condition for 18 years and it has been caused by a spirit, by some demonic work in her life. That's a long time to have lived in this condition. Jesus saw her and he called her forward. You're sitting there. If I just called your name and I said, come forward, most people totally like are dying in their seat being called forward. They hate to be called forward. They hate to be made that sort of public. People looking at them. This woman in a packed synagogue, bent over, Jesus sees her, he calls her forward. Do you think there was like a collective gasp inward? Right. What's going to happen here then? This is the day of rest. This is the Sabbath. What's Jesus going to do? What? Is he going to keep the rules? And after Jesus had called her forward, he's sitting probably cross-legged up high and she's just level with him, standing right in front of him. He just simply spoke these words, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and began to praise God. The devil had me bound. I can't sing, but Jesus set me free. Yeah, that was out of tune and flat, but she sang it great, praising God that he set her free. Are you excited about that? If you'd have been there and witnessed that, what would you have done? Oh, there would have been a tear in the eye. For me, I would definitely have been crying. I would probably have been laughing. I think we would have been joining in. Would you not have been joining in as she that was praising God? Would you not have been just praising God? Big smiles all round. But the joy in the synagogue was short-lived. Because the synagogue ruler was not pleased with what had happened. And if you notice, he didn't have the courage to speak to Jesus. He didn't have the courage to even direct his comments at Jesus, to rebuke Jesus, but that's actually indirectly what he was doing. He knew he hadn't a leg to stand on. He couldn't have worked the miracle. The woman had probably been coming there for 18 years and nothing had happened to her. But he took the easy option and he began to berate the people. Listen, folks, if you need to be healed, there's 6 days for work, so you come on one of those 6 days and you get healed then. Don't come looking for a healing on the Sabbath. She hadn't even approached Jesus for healing. Jesus had initiated it right from the start. Oh, there's always a killjoy, isn't there? Jesus was having none of it. Jesus had done, actually, a few healings on the Sabbath. He was criticized on every occasion when he healed on the Sabbath. But on this occasion, he spoke out so strongly. And I think, I might be wrong, but I think it was because the ruler was venting his anger on the people. And I think that's why Jesus spoke out. He wasn't holding back. He told the synagogue leader and those who were siding with him in no uncertain terms what the truth was. They were the religious leaders of the people. The people should have been able to look to them for spiritual understanding, for what God was doing. They should have been able to look to them for direction, for encouragement, for comfort, for true teaching. But instead, Jesus said, "You're hypocrites. That's what you are." Do you remember on that occasion when Jesus said, "You heap up burdens on the people's backs and you don't lift a finger to help them. You are like a cup, clean on the outside, but filthy on the inside. You're like a whitewashed tomb, so impressive on the outside, inside full of dead men's bones. You haven't got spiritual life. Your focus is on impressing people. It's on looking great before people. That's your focus. But no spiritual life. The kingdom of God had come, has come in Jesus Christ. The work of God was being done. The work of God was being done. But they were so full of themselves, they couldn't actually see it. I think this story is like a real life illustration of Jesus' whole ministry. He's the great burden lifter. Whatever it is, whether it's sickness or demonic power or words or cruelty or abuse or whatever crushes people and bends them down so that they're bowed down, Jesus sets us free. That's what the kingdom of God is. The inbreaking of the rule of God in heaven onto the earth. Oh, how wonderful he is. Have a heart. Have a heart, folks. The statement of the synagogue ruler highlighted his total disregard for the real suffering of real people. More interested in keeping rules than in what was going on with the people. He's one of those inflexible sorts, you know, nothing matters but the rules. In any case, Jesus wasn't breaking Sabbath rules. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus said in another healing on the Sabbath, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. How did Jesus sum up the Ten Commandments? And obviously one of the commandments, you shall keep the Sabbath day holy. How did Jesus sum that up with the other 9 commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Did anybody fulfill these like Jesus? Loving God the Father wholeheartedly and loving neighbors, people as himself. Jesus used a classic Jewish manner of argument here to make his point, arguing from the lesser to the greater. He said to the synagogue ruler, if you have an ox or a donkey, and it's Friday, and it's had its water, and it's had its food, and then it's Saturday, it's the Sabbath day, and it's tethered, it's tied up at its feeding trough, and it's eaten its stuff out of the feeding trough, but the Sabbath rules allow you to untie your ox. Maybe you take it first, you untie it. You walk it to the watering place. You let it drink. You walk it back and you tether it again. Then you take your donkey. You walk it to the place where there's water and you take it back. You tie it up again for all your animals. That's the Sabbath rule. Jesus said, you do that for an animal. It had a drink yesterday. Here's a woman. A woman, a fellow human being. And not only a woman, she is a daughter of Abraham. She's a Jewess. She's a member of your race. Here she is. And Satan has bound her for 18 long years. And you would deny that woman freedom and you would take your animal for drink. What kind of a God would make a rule like that? What kind of a person would follow a rule like that? When the people heard him, they were delighted. And the leaders were humiliated. The woman's need was greater. You know, I think the fact that Jesus said 18 long years, for me anyway, I just think that just tells me Jesus' heart. Sympathetic to human suffering. Because sometimes if somebody's ill for a short period, they get a lot of sympathy. Everybody's asking how they are. They get a lot of help and all of that. But sometimes when suffering, and if you have been in this position, you will know, if it drags on for years and years and years, people can stop asking how you are. People can stop being so sympathetic. Some people might actually be hinting that, you know, if you just get yourself together and get up and get on with it. Or sometimes people with long-term sickness or disability kind of become invisible. People stop noticing. But this woman and her suffering, she was visible to Jesus. He saw her. He loved her. He recognized that length of time and he set her free. He set her free. Friends, have a heart. When you see people in bondage for long periods of time, no matter what it is, have a heart. See them, love them, care for them. And then don't give up. You know, if we only take this story on a physical healing level, or if we also apply it in a wider spiritual sense, I think there's amazing encouragement for us here not to give up, not to give up ourselves, maybe for a physical healing, or maybe for some spiritual bondage that has been in your life for years and years and years. You think, I'm never going to get free of this thing. Take encouragement. Don't give up. Because sometimes we're tempted to stop praying about something or for somebody because we think there's no hope now. There's always hope. There is always hope that Jesus will break the bondage. Hallelujah. And there's spiritual conflict here. Now, we don't know all the details of this woman's condition. It does say she was crippled by a spirit. And Jesus said she'd been bound by Satan for 18 years. Now, I'm not going to speculate on how that happened or why it happened. It's not a case of demon possession. Jesus never, ever laid his hands on people who were demon possessed. But we can't draw the conclusion either that all sickness is of the devil or is due to evil spirits. Because look, if you read through his gospel, sometimes he just talks about sickness basically as sickness. But this is how Jesus describes this woman's situation. Bound by Satan, illness caused by a spirit. In some ways, it doesn't matter, because this is why Jesus has come. He has come to set people free from Satan's power, regardless of how that power manifests itself in people's bodies, in people's minds, in people's spirits. Jesus came to break the bonds. Jesus came to set people free. And that's why we were singing that song tonight. The devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. You know, I love this. I love that story. Graham was saying it's one of his favourites. That woman didn't come, as many people came begging Jesus for healing. That woman didn't. Do you reckon she'd get used to her suffering? You know, why didn't she just run up to Jesus in the synagogue and ask to be healed? Well, she knew it was against the law anyway on a Sunday, or thought it was against the law. She'd been told it was against the law. Or had she just resigned herself? This is it. Sometimes I think we do resign ourselves. Oh, this is it for me, for my family. And then Jesus takes the initiative. In this instance, he's calling her forward, speaking the word, touching her. She's set free. Jesus takes the initiative in lots of ways in our life. Sometimes somebody could just give you a book to read and it triggers faith in your heart. Sometimes somebody just says something or you hear a sermon and it just triggers, releases faith in your heart. That's called Jesus taking the initiative. Where you had given up, resigned yourself, Jesus takes the initiative. There's no mention of faith. No mention of the woman having faith to be healed. Jesus just did it. Sometimes as believers, we beat ourselves up. Graham was talking about this morning, saying, oh, maybe the problem is with my family or with my situation, I don't have enough faith. Nothing's mentioned of the woman's faith. Jesus saw her, he called her forward, he healed her. He never asked her about her faith. But what she do? She began to praise God. Began to praise God. That's interesting. This is Jesus healing her. He's a man who's been going around. She maybe doesn't even know who he really is. But he healed her. She didn't praise. She didn't look and praise Jesus. She praised God. She made the link between what he was doing and God. The religious leader in the synagogue couldn't make that link. He saw Jesus, and all he saw, somebody upsetting the apple cart, somebody breaking the rules on the Sabbath, making no link. The kingdom of God is breaking in right here, right now. He is doing God's work. Let's praise God. Oh, friends, your response to what God does shows your heart, doesn't it? Whether you enjoy it or whether you criticize it. Like this is many other occasions when Jesus was working, even the leaders accused him of doing it by the power of Beelzebub, casting out demons by the power of the devil. No, Jesus and the passages before and after this, they're all about believing what God is doing, understanding the times, repenting and believing. This evening as I finish, what faith is Jesus triggering in your heart? What's he initiating right now? As I've been speaking this evening, what situation have you thought about? Because that is Jesus initiating. That is Jesus operating. That is Jesus speaking. That is Jesus stirring and creating faith. So what are you going to do? Believe him? Believe him and praise God? Because no matter how great the bondage, Jesus sets us free. That woman bent over 18 years in spiritual, physical bondage, And in an instant, she's set free. How great is our God! May the kingdom of God continue to break in among us. Yes. May we see real, powerful demonstrations of the inbreaking kingdom of God, because Jesus is the king in that kingdom. It's not about a place. It's about a king reigning in people's hearts. Let's pray. If God has brought something into your mind tonight, why don't you just speak that out right now quietly in prayer to him? And say, Lord, I'm going to believe you in this situation. I'm going to look for the inbreaking of your kingdom here and for bonds to be broken, whether it's physical or demonic or any kind of bonds that are keeping you or someone else as a prisoner and bound over. So I'm going to believe you tonight, Lord, King of the kingdom. Lord Jesus, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior you are. Thank you that you were not scared of the religious leaders of your day, Lord. You called them out for what they were. And you, Lord Jesus, showed people the real heart of God for them, for love and for freedom and for forgiveness. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, in our day-to-day lives to show the people that we meet the heart of God for them. Help us, Lord, not to bring bondage or put bondage onto people, Lord, and crush people's spirits. But the Lord, you would help us to be in that releasing business with you. Thank you for what you're doing here tonight in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we will hold on to you in faith. Walk your way in Jesus' name. Amen. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.